Hello, this is Dr. Anna Kabeka, and today we'll be mapping vaginal dryness on the 15-minute matrix.
Welcome to the 15-Minute Matrix. I'm Andrea Nakayama, functional medicine nutritionist and your host. This is the podcast that brings you bite-sized insights and lessons on how to use the most important tool in functional medicine and functional nutrition. Today on the 15-Minute Matrix, I'll be talking with Dr. Anna Kabeka. Dr. Anna Kabeka is a triple board certified physician and hormone expert, and she was diagnosed with early menopause at age 38. Devastated, she set out on a personal wellness journey to reverse her menopause side effects, which resulted in her delivery of a healthy baby girl at the age of 41. After experiencing her own health successes, Dr. Kabeka began counseling others, ultimately transforming the lives of thousands of women across the globe. Her new book, The Hormone Fix, and other empowering programs have helped women of all ages become their best selves again. Her successful line of all-natural products features the alkaline superfoods drink Mighty Maca Plus and the rejuvenating vulvar cream Jolva. You'll find links to all these goodies, including her new book, in the show notes. And I'm sure that all that is enough to whet your appetite for what's to come in today's conversation. Welcome, Dr. Kabeka. What a joy to have you joining us today on the 15-Minute Matrix.
It is my pleasure to be here with you. I couldn't wait, honestly.
I'm so excited to talk to you. You have such a special area of expertise, and I'm super excited about this topic. So let's talk vaginal dryness. It's not just about sex, right?
That is right. You said we were going to talk about a juicy topic today. So here we go.
Here we go. Let's get juicy.
This is a whole area that we talk about that I work in and working with women with menopause. We talk about hot flashes as one of the predominant symptoms of menopause, but we know that hot flashes will eventually stop. The symptoms that are associated with vaginal dryness that are hormone related just tend to get worse. There is that loss of pleasure, that loss of orgasm, that loss of comfort and confidence that comes with how our body is used to responding as those changes occur. But it also affects our relationships. Because I always tell clients, if it hurts every time you do something, why would you want to do it?
Right.
And vaginal dryness can lead that unspoken discontent in a relationship and disconnect in a relationship. Because if we unconsciously know that having intimacy is going to be painful, or afterwards we have discharge, odor, infection, discomfort, irritation, all of those things are some things that women experience as we lose the natural lubrication of our vagina. It is that unspoken separation. We're not as turned on. Of course, we don't want to have a libido. Of course, we don't want to have sex. I mean, why would we?
It's interesting to think both upstream and downstream. So listening to you and thinking downstream for a minute into the realm of what I call the skills, the right side of the functional nutrition matrix, I imagine this causes a tremendous amount of stress for women, because then they're stressful around sex, around the pain they might experience, around the disconnect with their partner. And we know what stress can do to so many other aspects of our health and longevity. If we go upstream into the story, the antecedents, the triggers, the mediators, what are the major triggers for vaginal dryness?
There are several, of course. Some of the major triggers for vaginal dryness are our natural hormonal decline. That can be from our mid-30s on, we're experiencing the drop of progesterone, DHEA, and then further on, estrogen and testosterone. So the natural hormonal decline. The problem that we often make is that we think estrogen only when it comes to vaginal dryness, but androgens are so much more powerful for vaginal health. And there's so much good research to prove that and substantiate that now. Certainly in my years of clinical practice, that was how we regenerated and rejuvenated the vaginal walls and function of the vagina, and not just for sexual health, but for incontinence, for just comfort, for that as well. Pelvic floor health, prolapse, pressure issues, keep the muscle and fascia healthy. We know the decline in progesterone. There are progesterone receptors in the fascia. Again, so important that we think of all of the hormones when we're looking at this. And then hormone disruptors are another antecedent, from tampons and pads and perfumes and soaps and clothing. That's a long list too.
When we think about the lubrication in the vagina, and I want to come back to those androgens, but if we go into the central part of the matrix, the soup, as I like to think about it, you were talking about the environmental inputs there with all those different endocrine disruptors. And we've talked about the hormones. We've certainly talked about the mind, spirit, and emotions sector. I'm kind of wondering about the makeup of the lubrication in the vagina and how that impacts our structural integrity and even our detoxification and immune balance as well. I'm sure that the lubrication has a function that as it dries up, we're impacted by that dryness.
Absolutely. So our natural lubrication of the vagina, our vaginal pH is naturally acidic. I mean, 3.5 to 5. And as we get older, as we lose those natural glandular secretions that have epithelial cells that are mucus, fluid, we get a more alkaline vagina. So hence more likely to have the bacterial vaginosis, the fishy odor, the non-bacterial infections, the vaginitis that's non-bacterial, that test out negative and is a frustration for us as clinicians when we have a client that's coming in with vaginal discharge, vaginal irritation, vaginal odors, and all the pathology comes back negative. We've antibiotic'd them out of any healthy flora whatsoever, and that's an issue. So normal bacteria in the vagina, the lactobacilli, the different strains of bacteria that are within the vagina as well, that's important. So we disturb that milieu, and that leads to that dryness, and that leads to the loss of elasticity. And often that's also not thought about, just the stricture. The vagina becomes less flexible, less elastic, and the glands themselves are less functioning. So we lose that natural barrier, that natural environment, the milieu for healthy bacteria as well.
So I know people are coming to you, women are coming to you specifically to talk about these issues. For other clinicians out there, what are the signs or symptoms that we might pick up on as clues that we need to ask questions about sex, sexuality, vaginal dryness, pleasure? What might we be looking for in terms of those indicators to take that conversation in that direction?
That's a great question, Andrea, because this is an area that is vast. So many women have complaints and we don't talk about it. So as physicians, we need to ask the right questions. And also when we hear the answers, associate them with what if we address vaginal health? Just from treating women in my clinics for a year and now in my virtual programs and with Jolva, my anti-aging cream for the vulva, I hear so many stories of women that said, I didn't even realize how bad this was affecting my life or my relationship. So the questions of, do you have vaginal dryness? A woman may or may not share that information. Is there incontinence? Accidental leak of urine when you cough or sneeze? Are you feeling pressure in your pelvic floor at the end of the day? Do you have a harder time making it to the bathroom? Because that can all be a function of the loss of healthy muscle and strength of the pelvic floor. And then, do you have discomfort after intercourse? When was the last time you initiated sex? Are you receptive to the idea if your partner says, hey, honey, you know, let's have some fun? Are you receptive to that? That receptivity is an important factor too, because we can look at that. If there's something we used to like to do, but we don't like to do it anymore, what's causing that? And certainly stress plays a big part of that. From our aspect, working through the physical and the emotional and the relational, this is something tangible. We can make big changes right away. And this has been neglected in our medical systems, in our medical care, in our doctor's bag. We just haven't had the tools till recently.
And I see your dog agrees as well. When we talk about bioidentical hormone therapy, where have you seen the trend go with, let's say, my mother's generation, who's more fearful of hormones because it wasn't bioidentical, to women now? I think of so many indicators that there are hormone imbalances and there's still a fear about them. Do you see this in your clinic, or are people ready to discuss bioidentical hormone therapy?
There's some of each. I don't see a huge shift or opening up to, okay, we need to go back to be on hormones. I still feel a strong reluctance. And this is, again, dependent on the ages. I actually just did a national survey of 2,000 women through a third-party group. I wanted to get an assessment of how women are exactly dealing with menopause or hormone changes, and do we know what hormones are affecting our body? And for the most part, we don't, right? But women in their mid-30s to 40s are willing to make some changes, are willing to investigate, and are willing to try hormone therapy. Come 55 and over 55, there's that sense of giving up, not trying, have been there, done that, didn't work type of response. That's so frustrating because I don't want anyone to give up on themselves. And now I have clients in their 70s. All of us do in functional medicine. We see clients in their 70s and 80s just getting good results.
Yes.
That's that point. And women over 55 have given up. They're tuning out. We need to get them back in. We need to ask the questions and we need to give them hope that yes, there are things they can do naturally that will make a big difference.
So let's talk about naturally. You talked about the progesterone, the DHEA. You talked about bacteria and flexibility and elasticity. What are our interventions, no matter our scope, that we can be discussing with women in our clinics?
It's the whole dietary lifestyle and where we can add in bioidentical hormones. So every aspect of this we have to address. It's not one thing, as we all know. But certainly for me and working with my women over 50, menopausal and beyond, it's that keto green way is what I call it. Healthy fats in our diet. In my age group, I'm almost 53 with a 10-year-old, so I got to get this right. I remember in college, low fat movement. Well, that really destroyed our hormones. And so women in our 50s now, we are coming back from that. I'm telling women, you've got to eat fats. And women are like, well, what exactly does that mean? I've been so afraid of them my entire life. That's going to make me have a heart attack. And so we have to just keep reassuring them hormones are made from fats. When I'm looking at your cholesterol lipid panel breakdown. So I'm looking at these things and we're getting you a type A pattern, and it's good for us type A doctors. We like that. We're looking at this, we're monitoring you, and we're making sure you're getting good, healthy fats and then getting our body into ketosis. And that's a really important part. I work with my clients to help them start doing some intermittent fasting and even more dry fasting. So after their dinner, not drinking more than 4 to 8 ounces of fluid so that they're not getting up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom, which is very common in our 50s and beyond. And we're resting and sleeping a solid night. So a good magnesium cocktail before bed, but not to hydrate anymore after dinner. Let our digestive enzymes do what they need to do. Don't dilute them. And take that extended intermittent fast, at least 12 and a half hours, as we know by the research that can show a decrease in breast cancer. So that's good. But 12.5 to 15 hour intermittent fast. So working with them on that basis. And the low carb, we've been rewired to have a more efficient metabolism, let's say. And so we need the lower carbs. So the alkalinizers, the low carb greens, the cruciferous vegetables, and make sure we're adding in the healthy fibers. So chia seeds and flax seeds. So working from the dietary approach, because that's important for the cell membranes throughout our body and especially in the vagina. So I work with clients to really like figure that out, like get that pattern, which I call the keto green way.
I like that keto green. I tend to think of it as a paleo Mediterranean. Sounds like similar arena. You're talking about the intermittent fasting and, you know, making sure we get in those good fats. That's really critical, that backbone of the hormones. Is there anything in terms of the exercise that we can do to help with vaginal dryness?
Definitely pelvic floor exercises. And then certain exercises not to do, improperly doing some abdominal exercises or squats, et cetera, and not focusing on the pelvic floor, because that's just going to weaken the pelvic floor. Mm. I work with clients using, for instance, Jolva and doing pelvic floor exercises, or even the jade eggs or pelvic weighted balls in the vagina. Those are very, very good. Just a little aside, don't forget them, you know, as a gynecologist. We will take them out for you, but please try not to forget them. Those are really good things to keep that tissue active, to keep the natural contractions going. Pelvic floor exercises are really important. I do a little video on the right way to do Kegel exercises on my website, and that's just a fun and quick way for our clients to really get comfortable doing the pelvic floor exercises as part of their routines.
Fantastic. Thank you for what you do so that we can all have more sex, pleasure, and fun in our lives.
Thank you so much for having me.
The 15-Minute Matrix is brought to you by me, Andrea Nakayama, and the Functional Nutrition Alliance. The 15-Minute Matrix team includes my son, Gilbert Nakayama, and Carla Schaefer on sound production, Renee Hunt, Natalie Merrill, and Christine Shook. You can visit us and hear more episodes at 15minutematrix.com. And if you'd like to be notified each time there's a new podcast episode, please go to 15minutematrix.com/notify. We'll be sure to drop into your inbox with a super short reminder that a new episode is ready for you. You also have an open invitation to email us. Please do. We want to know who you'd like to hear on the podcast and what subjects you'd like to see mapped on the 15-Minute Matrix. You can email us at ask@15minutematrix.com.
It was funny. I had to get a new car. So my daughter told everyone at school, "Mom's getting a new Volvo." Volvo. And she goes, "Oh, now I get it. Jolva, Volva."
Oh, cuteness.